Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, May 27th. Traffic was slowed and stopped in some areas of Highway 145 last weekend due to a massive rockfall between Cortez and Telluride. From Daniel Razel at KSJD, a boulder that fell on Colorado State Highway 145 was successfully blasted Sunday evening. Colorado Department of Transportation officials say the fragments of the estimated 2.3 million pound boulder will be hauled away ahead of the opening of a temporary road. The reopening is expected sometime today. The stretch of Highway 145 between mile markers 15 and 22 remains closed. CDOT says only local residents and business owners are permitted through the closure. All other traffic must take detours through Colorado State Highway 141 or U.S. Route 550 until further notice. The slide occurred Friday afternoon and included another massive boulder, an estimated 8.5 million pound boulder that fell nearly 1,000 feet, crossed the highway, and carved an 8-foot trench in the road. CDOT says that boulder may remain in its new location. Last year, StoryCorps came to Colorado Springs to record the voices of veterans and their families as part of its Military Voices initiative. Among those who shared their stories was Scotty Domay. Domay is a Gold Star mother whose son, Christopher, was killed in Afghanistan in 2011. Here on Memorial Day, we bring you her reflections.
My son was Sergeant First Class Christopher Domay, and he died 17 days after his 29th birthday. He was a very active child and a beautiful little boy, and very much a leader. From the day he was born, all the little girls at church would chase him down the aisle. It was like at two, he was in leadership, you know. He was an Army Ranger, and he was killed on his 14th deployment. And my son is the most deployed soldier in American history to be killed in action. The night I received the knock on the door, I heard a knock, and I looked out, and it looked like it was a cop. And I thought, what is a cop doing here? I haven't done anything. And so they just kept knocking, and it was like this. It scared me. The minute I opened the door, you know, the two guys in uniform, I knew exactly why they were there, and I just looked at them and said, is my son dead? And they just said, may we come in, ma'am? And then they gave me the news. After they told me, I said to them, you know, I've been a single mom. I've been to hell and back. You can leave now. And they said, we can't leave until someone comes to be with you. So I called my best friend, and I just said, Christopher was killed. Bam, she and her husband were there. And then the worst call I ever had to make in my life was Christopher's younger brother, Kyle. So the grieving process is very hard. It blows up your whole life, your whole brain. One study said that you are only operating on 15% of your emotional margin, but within a month after your kid is killed, everybody wants you to be who you were. And you'll never be that person again. So I'm on year 7. About year 5, I felt like I could think again. But I can't multitask. I have to hyper-focus to get anything done. And if I have stress in my life, that's it. Because there's still that stress of processing. My son is dead. The last time I talked to him, it was by Skype. And I'll never forget his face. He just looked like this innocent young man, and we just had a really great conversation. And interestingly enough, it was the first deployment I didn't feel nervous about. I wasn't anxious. And actually, he was on the deployment that he was killed because somebody else had broken their leg. And my daughter-in-law had a really bad feeling about it. I didn't. I was just like totally in peace about it. So it was really a shock. But I will tell you, when I met the young man who broke his leg, I was very thankful. He was my Ranger escort for my first Memorial Day when the Army's flew me back to Fort Bragg. I really wanted to talk to him. I don't want him to carry any survivor guilt, which he did. I don't believe death is in our hands. I do believe that God, he decides the day we're born and we die, and the time in between is ours to do with whatever we want to do with it.
Jamie Sudler from H2O Radio talks about plans to strip mine in the Green River Formation for better access to oil reserves. The oil would go to a foreign company that is looking to drill on its 27,000 acres in Utah, Colorado, and Wyoming.
Nearly three-quarters of the world's oil shale reserves are in the Green River Formation, where Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming meet. That's according to the website for Enefit, an energy company which is based in the Baltic Sea country of Estonia. The company wants to strip mine on its 27,000 acres in the region to access the oil in the rock that's at the surface or just below. The rock would be heated to high temperatures to release crude oil, which would then be ready to be refined into gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. The mine would be located in a remote and rugged part of Utah, about 40 miles from Dinosaur National Monument in the Uinta Basin. It would be the first of its kind in the U.S. However, on May 16th, eight different environmental groups, represented by attorneys at Earth Justice, banded together and sued the federal government to stop the project from going forward.
They did a completely inadequate analysis of the massive environmental impacts of the oil shale development.
That's Michael Toll, an attorney with the Grand Canyon Trust, one of the organizations that sued the Bureau of Land Management, criticizing its review. The Sierra Club and the Center for Biological Diversity joined with the Grand Canyon Trust and five other conservation groups, claiming that in issuing its permit, the BLM did not fully analyze issues like the impacts on wildlife and particularly water depletions from the Green River, an important tributary in the already stressed Colorado River Basin. Instead, the agency looked only at the limited effects of a 14-mile water pipeline. Also, the groups say that the government needs to consider the enormous amounts of carbon emissions from burning the more than 500 million barrels of oil produced from the mining. Toll says there are many days when the air in the basin is unsafe to breathe, and it would be dramatically degraded by the mining. The environmental groups want the court to order the Trump administration to do a comprehensive analysis of all the impacts for the proposed operation instead of only considering a small feature of the project. For now, the environmental groups have not asked the court to stop the project because the company has not started to dig up any ground. But if they get wind of that happening, they will ask the court to halt it. For H2O Radio, I'm Jamie Sudler.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, May 27th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.